So let's, what's on my heart is a very blessed portion of scripture. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, that's been on my heart. And very challenging portion here for these dear people of God. It was a very, very dark time in the history of the nation. And here are these young men, these four young men living for God. And what an amazing narrative, amazing story here. How God is never done with his people. God always has a purpose. And we'll just see in this very discouraging time for the nation of Israel. Very, very dark time. Everything seems to have gone wrong. It could not get any worse, it appeared to be. We know we had all these kings from the glory of David to Solomon. And it kept going, getting worse and worse after that. And it seemed like it couldn't get any worse. And all of a sudden, it got worse. And it was moments of revival, but then down even more. Up in, one step up and two steps back, it seemed like. And it got worse and worse till eventually the nation was conquered by this godless nation from the north, Babylon. And here Daniel, a young man, a prince, he maybe would have become some kind of king or something like that later on, because he was in the lineage of Hezekiel, and it seemed like he was of the royal seed. So he would have had a good position back in Israel, but here he is dragged away into another country, shackled, maybe blindfolded, walking away far away to a country where he knew nobody, he didn't know the language. He didn't appreciate their gods as a wicked land. And here he is taken away. And he could have been very discouraged and he could have given up. But here we have this amazing story. God was not through with him. And he's not through with any one of us. And that's the story we can appreciate here in the theme in Daniel's book here is how the Lord is always has his way. He always has his purpose. Even through dark times, dark days. And I want to read Daniel 2, I'll go to 2 verse 49. 2 verse 49. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And there he is sitting. He seems like he's a ruler. He's very high up in Babylon. He was dragged away from home at a very young age in a far off country. And all of a sudden, here he is sitting. He's a ruler. He's in charge. And let's go to 5, verse 6. Verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Syrian, the Persian. So there he's prospering. So there he's sitting in the king of Nebuchadnezzar, at the gate of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, and later on we read he's prospering in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So there's three kings here. So he saw one king going down, Jehoiakim, and then he came into the king of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's a prime minister there. He's a very high up. And where did it all start? We go back to Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. There he is in a far land where he could have said, you know what, it doesn't really matter. God has forsaken me. God has forsaken us. Doesn't really care. But here it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So there you have it. Seems like it's such a little thing. Back home in Israel, or back home in Judah, they're doing all kinds of evil, all kinds of debauchery still going on in the temple. They're doing wickedness. We will read Ezekiel a little bit later on, because Daniel came up to Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon during the first captivity. So he was the best of the best. Nebuchadnezzar took the best people up to Babylon. And Daniel was in that first captivity. And then Ezekiel came in the second captivity. The second time Nebuchadnezzar attacked Judah. Ezekiel was brought up. And then the third one, he destroyed Jerusalem. He totally burned it with fire. But before that, God was very long-suffering with the nation of Israel. Daniel is up in here in Babylon, but back home in Jerusalem, they're worshiping Baal. They hadn't learned their lesson. They're worshiping Baal. They're worshiping the sun and to the moon and all kinds of evil they're doing there, as Ezekiel prophesied in his or was showing us in his book. And here he is, Daniel is away in a far country, living for God. And it's just a very encouraging portion here. And we see here the judgment of God is in verse 2. We see the judgment of God and the grace of God in Daniel. There's lots of judgment. There's also grace. It says, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. So God, it was God's judgment on the nation of Israel and on Judah. He gave this wicked king, this evil king, King Jehoiakim, into the hands of this other wicked king. So he was judging him. But at the same time, we see the grace of God in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. So there he's working with those. He is never going to forsake his own. He always has those, his own. He's always going to be with them. Those that honor me, I will honor. In verse 8, God is purposing in his heart not to defile himself. And in verse 9, then God steps in. So human responsibility, verse 8. And verse 9 is God's sovereignty, or God honoring. Those that honor me, that's verse 8. Verse 9, I will honor. Now God had brought Daniel to favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Did you ever see the God stepping in and honoring this man? And it just started all in his heart, the heart of Daniel, this little thing. This little act, it seems like. He said, I'm not going to eat these steaks, these T-bone steaks, this brisket, top of the wine, best wine in the world, the best brandies maybe, whatever they had there. He could have eaten the best of the best, the most nutritious food he would have gotten from the king. And he says, no, I don't want that. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to obey God. And that was more important to him. And it says here, and I appreciated a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 23, God says, son, give me thine heart. That's all God really wanted from Daniel. And Daniel gave God his heart. And in Proverbs as well, it says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. And it says here, because the Lord is looking down on the children of men. In 2 Chronicles 16, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong. He wants to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts is perfect towards him. So God wants to show himself strong. It's like he's longing. He's looking down. He's longing to see a heart that is seeking him and purposing to not defile himself. And he wants to show himself very strong. And here he found a man. He found a man, Daniel. And when the man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There we have in verse 9, he falls in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And it's the same, it reminds me of back in Genesis 39, where Joseph, the same, a young man as well, cast into a very difficult situation, and the Lord was with him. And he honored God too. And it says, but the Lord was with Joseph, same as here with Daniel, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So there we have it, Daniel in a very strange and difficult situation. A young man, maybe only 17 years old, maybe a little older. There he is trying to live for God. And it seems like there's not too many people living for God. It seems like many, many multitudes are taken up to Babylon. And they gave up maybe. It's not worth it. They say, God has totally forsaken us. But no, Daniel and these three other men, it seems like he was the leader of these other three. It says here in verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So he's there, you change your names from, their names honor God. These four young men, their names mean, they all mean something of the Lord. Their name means something of God. And now they're changing their names to mean something idolatrous. To change your name to mean something for the gods of Babylon. But it didn't matter. In their heart, they were going to follow the Lord. They could not change from the outside. In Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we are not to be conformed. Daniel was not going to be conformed here to the ways of this wicked, wicked nation. And it says here, they were going to give him daily provisions, verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drinks, and nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And so they're going to do a three-year testing, give them the best food for 3 years. And then we'll see, Daniel says, no, I just want pulse. I just want vegetables. I just want to honor my God. And it's very interesting that it's a very bold thing to do, because he could have lost his head right there. And the prince of the eunuch could have lost his head. But he loved Daniel, and it seems like he did this test for 10 days. Daniel said, just give me 10 days. And right there we see he must have had faith in God, that God's going to do something for him in 10 days. Because normally 10 days won't do anything. No matter what diet you go on, 10 days doesn't really work. It takes a long, long time. And here in 10 days, it's in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So the very best the world had, the absolute best, the T-bone steaks, all the nutrition, could not compare to what God can do for a man, what the Lord could do for a man. And it says here, and in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. So because they honored God, God's going to honor them. And skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. And then 3 years later, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in all matter of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found him 10 times better than all the magicians and astronomers that were in all his realm. So they're 10 times smarter. That's unbelievable. That's hard to believe, 10 times. These are absolute geniuses all of a sudden. God turned them into geniuses, because the foolishness of God is far wiser than man, far, far wiser. And God gave him this wisdom miraculously. And the king could see this. And the king was amazed there. And there they passed the test. There God honored them greatly. And it's just a start of what's going to happen. One test after another is going to come in here. And here we see that the next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he says to them, he gets very angry. He says to these wise men, all the wise men and all the magicians of his realm, he says, I want you guys to tell me what I dreamt. And if you don't tell me, he says in verse 5, and the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. I don't remember my dream. Or I'm not telling my dream, either or. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpreters thereof, you shall be cut in pieces. So I'm going to cut you all up. I mean, that's a lot of wise men here, a lot of smart, a lot of high IQ here. This is kind of his future of his kingdom. And he says, and your house shall be made a dunghill. I'm going to just chop you guys all up. I'm going to turn you all into dunghill, your houses. And he was very, very serious about it. He didn't play games, this King Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, but if you show the dream and interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. And they respond, the wise men said in verse 10, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. He says, no way, it's impossible. You're asking unrealistic things. And they said, the only thing, in verse 11, it is a rare thing that the king requires. This is rare. Nobody does that from their magicians, and therefore is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. He said, only God can do this. Only the gods can show us this. We can't. And it says, verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He's like, okay, you're all dead. I'm going to kill you all. And it's and the decree went forth. And we see here Daniel was going to get slain as well. Daniel and his three friends were going to get slain as well. And here we see they have a prayer meeting, a mercy prayer meeting. And that's a good thing, to have mercy prayer meetings. You know, call upon the Lord because they needed God. They needed the Lord to step in, otherwise they're dead. They needed God's help desperately. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his three friends that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. And it says, verse 19, the secret revealed unto Daniel a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So the secret was revealed, and God blessed the God of heaven. And then he says, there in verse 21, Daniel says, he realizes God's sovereignty, Daniel. And he appreciates the sovereignty of God. And that's so important in our lives, to see God is a sovereign God. And he was Daniel was a big sovereignist. He knew he was not out there all by himself, fending for himself, doing his own thing, made his own strength, his own energy. He knew it was all God behind him. He could see that. Verse 21, he changed the times and the season. He removes kings and setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And then he praises God. And there we see he comes to Arioch, verse 25. And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man. A man. That's all that's needed is one godly man, one good godly man. All these magicians, all these wise men of the whole world, the known world in that time, they couldn't do nothing. But one man with God, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. One of these slaves, as it were, he's the man. And it says, verse 26, the king answered, said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able? Can you do it? He was amazed. It seems like he was amazed. Can you do it? Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise man. It's impossible, Daniel says. Nobody on earth. He agreed with these other wise men. Nobody can do this, what you're asking, king. Nobody. But he says, verse 28, but there's a God in heaven. That makes all the difference. It's not possible, humanly speaking. And he told the king, no, I can't do it. And nobody else can do it. But there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And he basically goes on and tells his amazing dream. And he tells him exactly what's going to happen in the latter times. And we're still waiting for that to be fulfilled. God gave him a vision way, way up ahead. And it's just amazing in verse. I especially enjoy verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. And Daniel is basically saying there's one coming. There's a great God coming, a great kingdom coming. And he's going to come and destroy everything else, every other kingdom. And here we have, and he basically explains the next, in 37, who the gold is. He's basically saying, God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power and strength. So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, God has given you everything that you have. He's not flattering Nebuchadnezzar. He says, my God, basically, has given you everything. And he says, later in the verse, it says, thou art the head of gold. So you're the greatest kingdom that ever was. Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, there's none like you. You're the greatest power that ever will be and ever has been. You're the head of gold. But he says, you know what? Even your kingdom you'll be defeated by inferior kingdom. So he's telling the king exactly what the king maybe didn't want to hear, but he told him the truth. And then it says here, verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. And there he's worshipping Daniel. He wanted to kill Daniel not that long ago, and now all of a sudden he's worshipping Daniel. And this is the greatest king that ever lived, Nebuchadnezzar. He's falling down and worshipping Daniel. And it says... verse 47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And there we have God raised up Daniel. Because those that honor me, I will honor. There he is worshiping. But he very quickly forgot, and we see the next chapter, he quickly forgot that how great God was, because his heart wasn't changed yet. He still had a wicked heart. All of a sudden, the golden head got to his head. And he says, let's make a golden image and let's worship this golden image. Everybody has to worship this image of me, basically. I'm so great. So it seems like this revelation got to his head, maybe. He forgot the part that God has given you this great kingdom. He forgot that God is going to eventually rule the whole world. And it's the great God of heaven. So he quickly forgot that and said, you must worship my image, the next chapter. And he says, whoever is not going to do that, in verse 6, shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And he says, everybody, when you hear the music, you will have to bow down and you will have to worship. Every single person in my kingdom will have to worship this image. And it says in verse 8, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And here we have this amazing story, another trial in the life of these dear believers, far away from the temple, far away from Jerusalem. There they are being tested again. It seems like Satan's coming at them again. And it says here they're basically saying there's certain Jews who are not going to bow down. And then Nebuchadnezzar was angry. Verse 13, angry again. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring those three men. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? So he's basically saying, is it true? But he doesn't say, is it true? First, he's gonna threaten them. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up now? And he basically gives them a chance he says later on, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God? And those are very dangerous words. Who is this God? Who do you think this God is who can deliver you? Who is this God? And Pharaoh had said the same thing. Who is this God? And God destroyed Pharaoh. But here we see the grace of God in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. Who is this God? Here, eventually Nebuchadnezzar is going to come to know and understand this God, who this God is, and he's going to worship this God, and he's going to humble himself before this God. And then later on we see verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. So they're separated from Daniel, their friend now. And so they're not really standing by the faith of Daniel. Maybe Daniel encouraged them and helped them. But here they're standing on their own two legs, these three men. We don't know where Daniel is here. But here they are, and they're very bold, they're very strong, they've been strengthened, but, you know, they've seen God work in their lives. And he says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, not your God, not you, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy God. We're not going to serve you, or you're not going to serve your God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they knew this was true, because that's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He did burn people. He did roast people. That was a method of execution. If you go to Jeremiah 29, verse 22, it says he roasted Ahab, and he roasted people. That's what he did. That was the capital punishment of the day. So the man called Ahab and another guy who rebelled against the king in Jeremiah 29, 22, and he roasted these guys. So word was out that it is true, he will burn you. And then here we see, he said, turn up the fire seven times more. And then he put these, and it says, cast these men into the fire. And then here we see in verse 24, it was exceeding hot. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the four is like the Son of God. So there he is. It seems like God so wanted to honor these men. And this is the first mention of the Son of God in the scripture, the first time. And he's like, and he has not come down. I don't know if he ever came down to earth like this, other than back in Abraham's time, you know, or like way hundreds and hundreds of years back. God did not come down. The Christophany here. I believe it's a Christophany. But he could not sit. He could not stay in heaven. He came right down, right into the fire with these dear men. And he honored them. There's four men there. And it's just amazing that he came down, the Son of God came down, and he fellowshiped with them in that fire, in that hot fire. Maybe these men had read their scriptures. Isaiah had earlier said, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Maybe they knew their scriptures really well, these men. It seemed like they must have known the scriptures. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And this was written 130 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah. And here it is, it's true. He did deliver them. And there was nothing, they weren't burned at all. The fire had no power over them. All the fire did was set them loose. And it was a promotion. It did not roast them. The fire did not roast them, but eventually promoted them. But here, the Son of God is walking in their midst. And that's just amazing. They're preserved by God. And then eventually it says here, he changed his mind, Nebuchadnezzar. And it says here, 29, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill. So now he's going to turn other people's house into dunghill. Whoever speaks against these guys is God, and turn it to a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And it says here we see he's promoting them, promoting these three men. And I'm based out of time, but we can see how God can use us mightily, even in our time. When there's people are mourning down at the river Kabar, they're down there mourning and weeping in Ezekiel's time. Ezekiel saw visions of God, and he was greatly encouraged. God showed up and showed him great things, took him into heaven. And Daniel here in captivity, he took him into heaven. He showed him great visions of God. They really weren't taken up with what was going on around them. They were up in heaven, these people. They were just being blessed. And even later on, Ezra, we saw some people were just rejoiced, were so happy what God was doing, and other people were weeping. You know, some of you weeping down at the river Kabar, or whatever you want to call it, the river Babylon. And back later on in Ezra's time, men were weeping at how things had gone, how sad the case was. But God was working mightily in this time. And he had his way, and he has his ways with our lives, what he wants. And later on we see Daniel's going to get cast into the lion's den. But it didn't matter what happened, what the danger were, God was going to be with them. God's going to deliver them. So may you just be encouraged. May we just follow the Lord in these dark and difficult days, in these evil times. And we will be tested at work, and we'll be made to testify, and we'll be challenged by the devil. But let us be strong. Let us be bold. We need to be have men of backbones, be courage, stand up for God, stand up for the Lord, Lord Jesus, and just say it the way it is. Say, we follow the God of heaven. We will not serve your gods. We will not serve the God of money. We will not serve any of these gods of this world. We will serve the Lord. And I like this song, Sunday school song, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. And I just pray that and much more could be said, but I'm way out of time. So may God bless you, and may God help us in these dark days to purpose in our heart, to not defile ourselves, prepare our hearts like Ezra did, prepare our hearts to seek the Lord and to do it and to teach it. And it's all a heart work. God is really interested in the heart. And back in Jerusalem, they were doing wickedness. But here in this far country, these men were following God, and God honored them greatly. So may God bless you.